take my glasses around. Good morning, people. Good morning.
Good morning.
You can go ahead, Tabby. You can start. You got it. Oh, amen. Good morning. Please do not hurt yourself gorging on meat today. Man, it was a great time fasting. The beginning of something new. You know, I was up late last night. I took a late nap, so I was up late last night. And I was like, well, I'm up late. But, you know, and I was up pretty late. But, you know, I was like, I didn't have a hunger for no meat. And even though I got this morning and, you know, made some bacon for me and my wife, I was like, I really didn't miss this. Now, bacon is a great meat. You know, I guarantee that people tell you, if the Lord gave them a choice of what meat they need to live on for the rest of their life, bacon would be at the top of the list. Yes.
It's
not the healthiest choice. So they will be choosing with their taste buds. So, it was great. It was great. You know, that fast is the beginning of our monthly fast where we're making an effort to draw closer to God. And that's just so awesome and amazing. We're going to be over in Exodus this morning, Exodus 34. You know, fasting comes in many different forms. I remember I just recently had a colonoscopy, you know, and you think that you can't do it. But I always thought, like, you know, it's amazing how, for a medical procedure, we will fast. We will go in it gung-ho and we will fast. My colonoscopy, I fasted for 48 hours. It started on a Tuesday afternoon at 4, and I could not, well, after I got my procedure, I didn't get home until about 4 that afternoon. 4 Thursday, I said 4 on Thursday. So it started on Tuesday at 4, and I didn't get home to Thursday at 4. So I didn't eat from that time to that time. I thought, wow. And all I could have was broth. They offered some Jell-O and stuff, but I couldn't do the sugar. The sugar was too potent in it. So broth and water for 48 hours. And I thought, if I'm willing to do that for a procedure to make sure that I don't have no cancer or some health issues, how hard can it be to fast for God to go without meat like that?
That's right. Amen.
I think about the things that we're willing to do, especially if it benefits us. Sometimes when it benefits my relationship with God, we want to negotiate with God. As a brother say, look at us, we're having prayer when midway breaths, look at, we already looking for the loophole. I say, that's so true. I got to find a loophole in this fasting. But it's just us, like, can I find a loophole in it? But when you got to fast for a procedure at the doctor, you don't look for the loophole. You're more worried about, what are they going to be doing when they get inside of me? That's what you're worried about. What are they going to do? What are they going to find? You know, something else. You know, Moses, over in Exodus 34, chapter 34, you know, Moses had the privilege of fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Yeah. Man, he beat Jesus to it. Yeah. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he spent time with God. That's it. Said he didn't eat and he didn't drink. Now, people will say, well, hey, there's some supernatural things going over there, why he didn't do that. Yeah. But if that's the case, wouldn't you like to experience that? If you were sitting in the presence of God and God said, okay, you won't eat or drink, wouldn't that be amazing? Now, your mind is thinking, okay, so God's going to take away all the hunger, pain, everything from me. It didn't say God did that. It didn't say that God would take away all the thirst, the craving of, I got to have something to drink. It just said for 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat or drink. You know, fasting and prayer is about creating distance from the world and creating a closeness with God. Purging yourself from all that contaminates your soul allows you to focus on drawing closer to God. Fasting is about denying myself and relying on God. There's a pattern going on here.
Yeah.
If you want to move God in your direction, you will need to move in His direction by detaching yourself from worldly dependency. When you detach from the world and focus your time and effort on communion with God, you will look different, speak different, and be different. Over in Exodus 34, starting in verse 28. So Moses has been assigned to serve in the role of a leader for the great nation of Israel, which is clearly over 2 million people. And so when you remove people from one world into a space with God, God said we've got to have some law and order. We've got to have some structure. And so picking up in verse 28, I'm sorry, let's start in verse 27. Says, then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Verse 29 says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him first, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. You know, first point is fasting and prayer, from fasting and prayer to being radiant. You know, this week has been amazing. It's been a great week of fasting. No meat. Me and Sharice's situation was significantly different because our adult daughter is at home. And so it just so happened the week that we started fasting from meat, she decided that she wants to get in the kitchen and cook. And she's been cooking good. Shrimp. Okay. Chicken. She made homemade marinara meatball with all the marinara sauce. She made Philly cheesesteak. Mini. I can hear everything she made. Yep, she did all that. And then she skipped one night. And then she did some other night. But this was all going on in the house. Every night she laid the counter out, peppered everything, all the meat cooking, smelled it all through the house. I thought, wow, God is great. God said, yeah, this is going to be a great fast. I'm going to inspire your daughter. You need to start cooking. And so my daughter hates cooking. So I say, this needs to be your new show. You need to have a show called, I Hate Cooking, But I Have to Eat. That's what you need to call it. That needs to be your new screaming thing.
There we go.
But she's good at it. She's get online. She looks up all the videos. And she says, okay, this is what I got to do. And she bought all her food. Her brother took out. They got all the food and stuff. And she comes in. And she takes her food like every night. We watch the chickens thaw out. We watch everything. She prepped everything. Seasoning everything. It's been a great week of fasting. Awesome. I feel like God said, Sydney, we're going to see if you're really going to be good at this. Mm. Me and Sharice did okay.
Amen.
Now, my wife, she brought humor to the situation. I love it. Because every time Candace would make something, she said, look, put that in a Ziploc bag and throw it in the freezer. I get it on Sunday.
There you go.
And I'm like, that thing don't be no good on Sunday. So we got some marinara meatball in the freezer. Yep. We got some Philly cheesesteak in the freezer. I don't know whatever else we got in the freezer, but Sharice has been freezing every meal that she has. She said, come Sunday. And I'm like, you're going to be sick. But it just shows, you know, connecting with God, man, it just takes willpower. It takes strength. And God always, when you say, God, I'm going to fast to be close to you, God say, okay, we're going to really see if you're going to be loyal to this. I don't know what your situation was, but that was our situation for the first week of going without meat. And I can imagine if it's your first time of fasting without meat, it may have been hard and challenging for you. You may have felt like, ooh, this is hard. They're showing all these commercials of food. I don't remember this many commercials about food going on. I mean, where's all these commercials coming from? You know, you're not aware of things until you actually engage in something.
That's right.
You're like, all of a sudden, meat is like this prime thing. I got to have it. But I think me and Sharice, because of our own training, is that we end up watching all the Food Network channels the whole week. I was watching Drive-Ins, Dine-Ins, and Dives. I was watching Top Chef. I was watching Edward Delling Williams. He made this nice pork wrap. So I said, I got to try this. I'm watching. He had this pork belly, and he showed me how to do it. I was like, this is amazing. I'm going to try this. That's all I watched all week. That was the majority of my shows. But it didn't bother me. I said, I'm good. The greatest food I made this week while fasting from meat was basil pesto. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say that thing on everything. I was like, this is amazing.
Amen.
But you know, at the end of this fasting, you should be looking radiant. Mm-hmm. You should be feeling radiant. When people see you, they should be like, man, wow, you look okay. You look good. You look like nothing's happened. If your focus was on drawing near to God in this first week of fasting and prayer, you should feel radiant. Mm-hmm. If your focus was on missing the meat, then you came out unchanged.
Right.
Time with God should change you.
Yes.
It just should. Time with God should grow you. It just should.
That's right.
Time with God should inspire you. And when you go into fasting and prayer for the purpose of communing with God, that time with God should send you back out away from Him looking radiant. How are you feeling this morning? Do you feel radiant? Do you really feel radiant from that meat fast? And if you think that meat fast is hard, I thought, wow. God said Moses went without bread and water. I thought, man, and I'm complaining about meat. You know, I looked up something, and it says that in the world, to us alone, there is about 20,000 food types available to us.
Wow.
How many did we remove? Pork, yeah. Beef, chicken, fish, yeah. Shrimp, lamb. How many? I haven't even cracked a 10 yet. How many did you really remove? Mm-hmm. I thought, God, how can I complain? I said, Lord, it's so hard. When God has given man the wisdom, say, well, you know, there's about 20,000 food types available to you. Have you really exhausted all resources to make it through this fast? What do I have to go with God with? A time of fasting and prayer should be exciting. Man, I'm happy to get with God on this. You know, God could have said, you're going to be like Moses, no bread and water, nothing. But God said, let's just start slow. Let's just do something manageable. You know, meat. Turn me over to Philippians 3:19. And keep your place in Exodus, because we're going to spend most of our time there. You know, I think about, you know, when you struggle to fast or struggle to draw close to God, God points this out in Scripture, that our appetite is misplaced. And open in Philippians 3, verse 18. He says, let's start in verse 17. He says, Philippians 3, verse 17 says, join together and follow in my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is their destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. You know, when you find that you're struggling to do a fast, it's because your appetite is misplaced.
Mm.
You know, is your appetite for God or is your appetite for the flesh?
Whoa.
You gotta ask yourself that. Because I tell you, when you go into a fast that requires you to remove food out, man, you start thinking about my belly, oh, my stomach. You start having stomach pains. You start feeling stuff. You feel like I'm about to die. And God's like, no, you're not going to die. You're not going to leave us. But you have to examine yourself through any fast that you do. Whether it's from me, whether you go 24 hours and say, we're not going to eat no food 24 hours, you have to examine myself. Do I really have an appetite for God to do this fast so that I can draw closer to God, so that me and God can commune, so that I can grow stronger in my faith and walk with God? Or is my appetite for my stomach? God says, man, your stomach is your God. That's an idol. I don't know if you've ever watched the documentary Alone. Who's ever seen that, Alone? It's a powerful show. You know, as an older man, even maybe a younger man, you feel like, I can do that. I don't know, you're thinking I can do that. But what they do, they take these guys up in British Canada, and they get volunteers who are, they're known, they're supposed to be experts in surviving on the land. And they take you out there, it's about 10 of you, and they stick you on different parts of the island, and you're by yourself. And you've got to live off the land. And you only can bring a certain amount of tools and stuff to live with. That's it. You have to swap. And so these guys have to get on the land, and they have to make their living. They have to figure out how to catch fish. They have to figure out how to kill animals to live on. And they do what's called a health check. And the people who drop them off will come out every so often to check on them. They measure the body fat and everything. A lot of these guys end up losing tons of weight. I mean, they're skinny.
Yeah.
And some of them get to the point where they say, you can't stay no longer. You can no longer do this. Mm-hmm. They force you out because your body basically is just eating away at you. And I mean, some people going, they're going big and they come out thin. Mm. But I thought about the mentality it takes to do that, to say, I have an appetite to do this. I can live this way. I can fast from all the pleasures of the world, all my creature comforts, and I can go out here and I can live this way and I can do it. And on top of that, They take them out there when it's all of a sudden goes snow in the winter. That's what it get me. They put them out there. They take them right before this winter comes in, and then it snows. So you've got to build shelter, you've got to build fire, and you've got to keep warm. Why? You also got to hunt for food.
That's right.
And what they found out, that when they go hunting, that they need more than just animal, than just meat. This is what they found out. They end up eating rabbit, squirrel. I can't figure out what they call this one bird. I just call it chicken. So I think it's a pheasant or something. They eat this bird. But what they found out is that the meat is not enough to sustain them. Bingo. That's it. And the one thing they have the hardest thing catching is fish.
That's right.
Because fish gives a lot of fat.
That's right.
But they start to lose their weight. They may get a lot of meat, but it doesn't sustain them. Mm-hmm. You know, that meat fast, as challenging as you think it was, in a sense, it's a blessing. In a sense, we need to realize that, man, I can live without meat. If a person can say, I'm going to be a vegetarian, not because of God, just because I want to be a vegetarian, I don't want to eat chicken and be harmful to animals, I'm pretty sure we can fast from meat for not only a week, but longer.
Yep.
There are lifelong vegetarian and vegans who do this every day, and it's not even for God. How did you come out on the other end of your fast? Are you feeling radiant? Are you feeling inspired? You know, back over to Exodus. So Moses here comes off the mountain, gets these Ten Commandments. You know, I feel for Moses, because Moses had to go do this thing twice, this Ten Commandments twice. In his anger, he broke the first tablets. I guess we get angry too. I don't know, man. You know, that's a lot of walking up and down the mountain. You're carrying stone tablets. This ain't like a small Bible I'm carrying. And I get mad. You're keeping the one off the rail. And, you know. And he got to go back up there, and he got to fast 40 days. Like, some of be like, I ain't fasting that long no more. Nah, it's okay, Lord, take me now. But Moses is back up there, you know. And when he's up there fasting, one of the things about you learn about fasting is that, you know, God is preparing you for works of servitude.
Amen.
Ain't that something? God is preparing you for works of servitude. And this is what he was doing with Moses. He was not only giving Moses instructions for the people, but Moses, I have a plan for you. You're going to need to be close to me because you've got a lot of people to serve. Mm-hmm. If you have ever inspired to be in leadership, understand it's not about you.
That's right.
It's about you serving people.
That's right.
And Moses dealt with some difficult people. And we are no different. We love it. We may inspire and want to do it. But once you get in it, you realize, I don't know, God, if I want to be a leader no more. Oh, goodness. And I can see Jesus and Moses somewhere laughing. Nah, buddy, you got it easy. No. Moses had 2 million people, and Jesus, even his own intimate leadership squad, they were difficult. We all know the scripture when Jesus says, how much longer will I put up with you? And Jesus says, are you that dumb? No, Jesus wouldn't say that, but he did. But fasting and prayer allows God to prepare you to serve him in his people. God wants to shape your thoughts. He wants to change your character. He wants to revamp your heart and fill your soul with his purpose and plan. Down in verse 33, it says, when Moses, Exodus 34, verse 33 says, when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence, to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. You see, Moses just wasn't fasting to say, hey, I'm going to be a vegan, a vegetarian. I'm just going without food. I want to get healthy. I want to look good. His fasting had a purpose. His time with God had a purpose. God was preparing him to go back out and serve the people. God said, I'm going to give you some instructions that you need to take back to the people, and you need to give these instructions to them. This is how they're going to need to live. These are the guidelines they're going to need to live by as they live as a community and a nation. You and I have to recognize that our fasting and prayer during this month has a purpose.
Amen.
There's a purpose to it. Number one purpose is, I need to get closer to God. I just really need to get closer to God. That's going to require a lot of humility. It's going to require a lot of me denying myself. I was speaking with Sharice this morning. I said, you know, I woke up this morning, and I love the fact, and these are the things you should love about yourself, however God uses you and your gifts and talents. One of my gifts is that I love communing with the Holy Spirit. It gives me thoughts. And I thought, you know, what person deliberately says, I'm going to get up and carry my cross because there are people who need me? I thought about that. I said, but Jesus did this. He left the comforts of heaven, the comforts of home, and he said, because I love you, God, I'm going to go serve your people by serving you.
Amen.
He foreknew the cross he was going to take on, and yet he says, I'm going to do this. I thought, who does that? Knowing the brutality that awaits you. Moses didn't know much, but yet still Moses says, I'm willing to serve in this capacity. I'm willing to serve as a servant leader, and I will carry your commands to your people that they may be inspired, that they may have direction in their life, this life that you gave them to live. Your fasting and prayer has a purpose. You're going to need to impact somebody. I don't know who it is. I don't know where they are. I don't know where it is down the road. But there's a purpose for this month of while we're fasting and praying. It's great to see how excited you guys are about this. I can't wait to hear how God moves in your life. I don't know what fast you're going to do this week. But man, it's exciting to hear about the fast that you're going to do. But you have to ask yourself, during your fasting and prayer, your time of communion with God, do you want to be used by God? Do you really want to be used by God? Then you have to ask yourself, what are you willing to let go of in this world, in your life, to draw closer to God? Mm-hmm. What is it that you need to let go of? We all got that thorn in the flesh somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's in our character. Maybe it's in the way we think, the way we act. Or maybe it's in, here's the famous one, and this is what I think about, well, this is what I believe. I always catch myself when I say I. You know, I was like, wait a minute, does this line up with what God believes? Because it's easy to say what I believe. Now, if it lines up with what God believes, then my eye has some merit. It has some foundation. But if what I believe goes against what God says needs for me to believe, then my eye has nothing to stand on.
Right.
I think about that. You know, God has work for you and I to do. So glad he does. For Moses, it was to deliver the Lord's commands for the nation to live by. What is it for you?
Mm-hmm.
What did you find out this week about yourself during your fast?
Yep.
What did you find out about yourself during this past week, during this fast? What did God convey to you? Did you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And when God and the Holy Spirit spoke to you, were you listening? Or did you ignore it? Did you plug your ears? Did you turn the other way? Did you take your fasting and prayer seriously this week? Or were you waiting for the clock to strike 12 on Saturday at midnight? Which was on your thought? What was on your thought? Fasting and prayer equips you to do good works. These works is to encourage, instruct, give direction, inspire, and lead people in the ways of God.
Amen.
What did your fasting and prayer do for you this week? Finally, guys, in Matthew 6:16. This is really the foundation of fasting, because God always has a plan. Matthew chapter 6. And it's amazing about this. This was included on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, we always think about the Beatitudes. You know, oh, that's like the Sermon on the Mount right there. But it's like there's so many other lessons that Jesus was teaching on that mountain. But in verse 16, Matthew chapter 6:16 says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Fasting and prayer is a private thing, corporately and individually. As a church, corporately, we know we're fasting. We're unified that we are fasting together. First week, we say, hey, it's going to be me. Hey, that was just between us, the family of God right here. This week, we know we're still fasting together. But I don't know what you're fasting unless you tell me. Once again, I'm not the fasting police. Once again, your fast is between you and God.
Right.
Now, if you want to share it, hey, man, you can share it. But don't share it as, oh, you know, I'm fasting this week. Oh, it's going to be so hard. Oh, the fast. Oh, all kind of things you're doing. God's like, dude, you're being like the hypocrites. That's the wrong way to share a fast. You're like, you know what? I'm excited about this fast. I'm looking forward to it because I know this is something I spent too much time in. It's going to be great. I'm going to, guess what, detach myself from this thing, and I'm going to put God there and really go after God and prayer and showing God I love him more than I love spending time in this thing here. Me and Scott was talking, and I was talking about these little TikTok videos and stuff like that. And Scott's like, you know, them things are like an abyss. And I was like, hey, man, that is so true. Some things like this. I said, but I watch some of them because I like watching little animal things. And Scott said, yes, you can lose time. And I'm listening to Scott. I'm like, there's truth in that. You lose a lot of time. You mess around, start in the morning, wake up, it's after the door, it's dark. It's like, what did happen? You know, you can lose a lot of time, a lot of your life in these things. So you have to guard yourself for things. Now, for some people, that's not even an issue. That's not even an issue at all. But for some of us others, it can be an issue. But if you're going to fast and pray this week, you need to find something that's a real issue for you. You know what it is. Because your heart starts saying, hey, buddy, what are you thinking? I don't think we need to do that. Your mind starts saying, well, wait a minute. It's really not that bad. I mean, you don't need, no, let's go with this. This road has the least resistance. Let's choose this. But the Holy Spirit said, this is the one I want. This is the one I want. I want you to unplug from this particular thing and to give me 6 days. Give me 6 days. Can you give me 6 days? Moses gave me 40 days and 40 nights. I'm just asking for six. Can I get six from you? Wow. And fasting, let's not be like hypocrites and go like, woe is me. This is really hard. Woe is me. This is really hard. You may not look broke down, but your language can make you sound broke down. It just can. Man, he's having a little hard time with that fast. She's having a hard time with that fast. Hear it all in their voice. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't do that. But instead, be proud. Man, we're going to tackle this. Me and God. Going to build with God in this area. I love it. And so the fast you choose this week, it begins with you and God. Be excited about me and God are teaming up. Amen. Going to spend some time with the Father. God, I got a lot to talk to you about this week. I'm going to set aside that time. I go back to that analogy of the TikTok. Have you ever lost 30 minutes on the TikTok time?
No.
say, hey, guess what? I'm going to put them 30 minutes in with God. God, I'm going to give you that 30 minutes an hour that I fall into the abyss screaming. Give God that time. Whether it's praying, talking, reading your Bible, give God that time. No distractions. Because I know that when you get on certain things that you know is the issue that occupies your time, you'll block everything out. You will block everything out to be in whatever it is. Feel God in that space. And everybody doesn't need to know. Now, we're a family. We know. But if we're going to present it, you present it to each other in the right way. With joy. Being radiant. You should be radiant. Because you just came off of a fast. You should be glowing. You just came off of a fast. That radiant needs to continue to grow. And it needs to continue to glow. Every week, you should shine brighter and brighter. Till people say, wow, what's going on? You're just radiant and shining. What's happening? People should see that in you. But if they are not seeing that in you, it's because you're not having fun fasting and spending time with God. It's because you love your creature comforts more than you love God. If you're not having fun in it, it's because your heart is being exposed and God's trying to say, wake up. Wake up. You're actually sleeping on the job here. Wake up. Fasting and prayer is one of the greatest tools that God has given us and allows us to experience so that we may come to depend on Him more. So that we may come to enjoy His presence more in our life. So that we may truly know what it is like to walk with our Lord and our God. This world wants to pull you away. It wants to feed you everything it can feed you so that you cannot give God the time of day. But God wants so much more from you. God wants so much more for you. Do you want the same? Do you want so much more from yourself when it comes to building a relationship with God? I gave you a sheet, something I read, which is really great, fasting and prayer. Stick it on your refrigerator. Post it somewhere. Post it beside your desk, beside your computer, if you work from home. So it's always a reminder to read. And I'm just going to read some of the bold highlights. I'm going to close out here. Fasting and prayer, it says, fasting has the potential of helping our church get on board with a singular vision as selfish ambitions are held in check. Are we selfish people? Yes, we are. It says, disciples of Jesus often think of spiritual disciplines as a personal action, but the Bible makes it clear that spiritual discipline is also a corporate action. Not only do spiritual disciplines bear growth for the entire fellowship, but many of them are also intended to be followed in the church by disciples acting together. Some of the highlights, and I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but one thing about fasting, it heightens your sensitivity to the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Number two, it increases your unity with the church.
Yeah.
Number three, it uncovers your potential. That's right. You have some hidden potential that God wants to bring out. He brought it out of Moses. Number four, it prioritizes prayer. Help you to prioritize your prayer and be more focused and connect with God. And number five, it broadens your reach.
Amen.
Take time to read this. Stick it somewhere where you can read it the whole time for the whole month while you're fasting. Get your highlighter out. I'm a highlighter. I'm an underliner. Highlight things and then stick to you. Highlight it, but stick it as a reminder. This is going to remind you the importance of fasting and prayer at all times. This should not be the last day, the last week, nor the last month that you do fasting.
That's right.
But somewhere along the way, down the line, on your own, whether the church does one or not, you should be able to say, I think I'm going to fast for 6 days on my own. Because I want to grow closer to God. I want to draw closer to God.
Amen.
Guys, thank you so much. Glory be to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.